We are so gifted by the music ministries of our church and grateful for a wonderful song this morning. It feels very appropriate for the scripture reading, which comes from Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25, where Isaiah speaks of the glorious new creation. So I invite you to hear these words, and maybe the music from our offertory will still be kind of resonating in your hearts and minds as you hear these words. Isaiah writes, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth, says the Lord. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and the one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well." And then these very powerful words of verse 24, "Before they call, God says, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, God says, I will hear them." And then it concludes with this, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and the one who indeed unleashes a new creation even now. Amen. You know, a week ago, as we gathered for worship, it was still fall outside. There was not a hint of snow on the ground. But behold, come Monday, a new creation began around us. 10 inches, at least, at our house fell. And now we have beautiful leaves adorning the snow on our front and back lawn. This scripture passage was written to a people who found themselves in the midst of a transition. They had been in Babylon, and as God had promised after their exile of 70 years, they went home. They went home back to Jerusalem. They went home back to Judah, and they found as they returned the city in ruins, because once the Babylonians had destroyed their city, nothing had really happened in Judea or in Jerusalem over those ensuing years, other than just the overgrowth over the ruins. And so they came back home, and they saw the devastation. And so they began that process of trying to rebuild, trying to make their life again in this land that had been theirs. And it's overwhelming. Sometimes, and maybe you can appreciate this, sometimes the worries and the challenges of the day, of just getting through the day or the moment, can be so big, so full, so encompassing of your hearts and minds that it's really hard to even think about tomorrow. It becomes just too challenging because we're just trying to survive moment by moment. We're just trying to survive hour by hour. And that's kind of where these returnees from Babylon, these Jews who have come home, this is what they're experiencing. They're experiencing this. We're just trying to get through the day. You know, they've deferred their dreams. They don't have time to dream. There's too much work to be done. Their visions have become very much locked in into just getting it through another day. Maybe building that house a little bit more. Maybe restoring that wall just a little bit more. Maybe uncovering that well that we know used to be here, that our ancestors said had water in it, so that we could have water for the day. They're in that survival mode, as it were. And so it's in that context when life can feel so foreboding. It's in that context that God sends this word through Isaiah. And I love this story because it seems so incredulous, because what God is saying to these people in this moment is the future is going to be amazing. And I imagine some of them were saying, well, that's great, but I'm stuck in today. I got to get through today. And God's response through Isaiah is exactly, you're stuck. You're stuck limiting your vision. You're stuck. And I understand why. God knows why and the challenges that they're facing. But God is inviting the people to look beyond this very moment. Don't let this present moment be a cage or a cell. Don't imprison yourself in this moment as if there could be nothing else, nothing different. God would say, dare nothing better. And so this word comes from Isaiah, comes to God through God from Isaiah and into the people. And Isaiah says, think about this. This is what God says. I'm doing something new. Let go of trying to restore things to the way they once were, because they will never be that way again. Let go of that. Unshackle yourselves from looking backwards. God even says this, I don't even remember it. I'm going to forget what has been. But instead, I am creating something new, God says to them. You will rejoice and be glad in it. God says, I am beginning a new creation in you in this very moment. In the midst of these rubbles and these destroyed homes, I'm creating a new city, a new future. And this is the future that I am creating through you. God is already informing them that they are a part of this tomorrow. They are a part of this new creation that is beginning. He tells them about, and I love the imagery, because even though this is several thousand years old, we can relate to this as human beings. There are certain things that just transcend time and space. Jerusalem will be a delight. Infants will not live just a few days. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. We can understand that 2,000 years later, what that means, the promise of children being born healthy and staying healthy. The promise of living a full, healthy life. We can resonate with that in the midst of our anxieties or in the midst of our worries or the challenges that we may be facing, either physically or mentally, with our health challenges. For one who dies at 100 will be considered a youth. That sounds good. And those that fall short, we'll weep that. We'll weep what might have been. They shall build houses and inhabit them. These were people who their ancestors, and maybe they still remember when they left their homes as the Babylonian army set up, either destroyed their homes or started to live in them. They may have a faint memory of what that was like when all that they had was no longer theirs and they were left with nothing. They were homeless and refugees. And God says, but the time is coming when the house you build is the house that you will live in. You will have that safety. You'll have that security. You'll have that place. And it will be yours. They'll plant vineyards and they'll eat their fruit. The work that you will do will not be for someone else. The work that we do will provide for you. But as we know, in God's great economy, that provision will be enough for them, but also for them to share what God has given them. There is a future, but one that also helps others in need. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. God is saying, this is for the long term, my children, my friends, my community. This is not for the moment. This is what I am at work even now in you, although you may not be able to see it in the midst of this moment. This is your future. Because I think God understood this and understands this about human beings, about how we think, that we need something to lead us. We need a vision and an image to guide us. If we are shooting, if we have nothing in front of us, we have nothing to move toward. If you don't have a target, you won't know what to aim at, as it were. So God is reminding the people. It's almost a recommissioning or reconsecration, saying, yes, you're home, but it wasn't just enough for you to be back in Jerusalem. Just getting to this moment is not the end of your story, which in this case is very liberating for these men, women, youth, and children. This is but a beginning. Because the unfolding of this future that God is talking about here through Isaiah is one that is happening through these Jews. They will be the ones who will help and begin to take a step toward this future unfolding. And the imagery of God's presence is so powerful. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear them. This intimacy, as we experience God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, the groundwork for that is laid here. This is the path. The path is toward this renewed and rejuvenated world and creation, but also through a new and rejuvenated relationship with God. There will be no separation. That's why we can thank God for this life that we have in Jesus Christ, because this life is one that is infused with God's presence. God says, I am not apart from you, but I am in the midst of everything you're experiencing. I am so close that even as you begin to lift up your need, as Reverend Gramet encouraged us during our prayer time, even as we begin to speak the word, God hears it. Paul talks about in Romans the moaning and groaning that we have sometimes when we don't even have the words to say, and yet through the power of the Holy Spirit, God knows our need. Those times when we may be praying to God and we're unaware of what we're asking, but God knows, because God knows us and loves us so intimately. God is aware of our need even when the words escape us, or when maybe we are unable to even utter those words. Before they speak, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. And then the imagery of this future that Isaiah speaks of is one where the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. Wolverines and Spartans will get together and work together. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. The imagery is of a welcoming, inclusive community, a community where all who are seeking to experience the life of God will experience that life of God in the people around them. We as a church are seeking to be this mountain. If you want an image of who we are as St. Paul's, who are striving to be, it's this holy mountain that Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah 65. Isaiah talks about it actually back in chapter 1 as well. It's a compelling image, because think about this. What Isaiah is saying is it's not just the Jews who are coming to that holy mountain. Isaiah speaks of the light of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are coming to this mountain too. What Isaiah is saying is what is happening is God is creating something that is so new that even those that you may perceive as your enemies are coming to God's holy mountain, and we will be community together. Thank God for life, for the life of awe, for the life of God infused in all that is around us. This is such a compelling image because it reminds us as a church of how we are to be, how we are to engage in this opportunity of offering and sharing God's life and life-giving love and grace with the people around us. It's for us to have the privilege to be an image of this mountain so that those that have no community, those who maybe never experienced God's love, will experience God's love in us. In the midst of this community, they will see men, women, youth, and children caring for each other, but also, and most importantly, caring for the world around us. Recognizing that we have this opportunity to help people live healthily and vibrant lives, to live fully. We have this opportunity to reach out to those who are hungry with food, with those who have no clothes, with clothes, with those who have no place to stay, to help them provide housing and a home for them. We are the bearers of this promise. We are part of the unfolding of this glorious new creation. It is us. It is our time. It is our opportunity. It's our call to live in fulfillment of these words of Isaiah. And I think that's astounding. And it's worthy of a cheer, too. This is us. We are the ones in whom God is creating a new heavens and a new earth. We are the ones in whom God is speaking and listening and acting. It is us who are the signs that this mountain is not a pipe dream, but it is actually an unfolding vision of what it means to follow God and to leave no one behind in the process. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. My friends, this is St. Paul's United Methodist Church, who we're striving to be. This is the privilege that we have as our children learn about the love of Jesus Christ and how God has called them to care for the world around us. This is who we are as our youth even now prepare for the work trip next year to Puerto Rico. This is what inspired our work team to go to Redbird last month. This is what inspires us as we live out our faith each and every day to be a sign that we indeed have made our home in this holy mountain or upon this holy mountain, that our lives become a beacon of the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ. It means letting go of our fear, of our anxiety, and trusting in God. Recognizing that God is greater than anything that may avail itself upon us. That God's way is a way of life. And as we trust God, we place our lives into the hands of this life-giving God. This God who invites us into relationship with him through Jesus Christ. This God who places his Holy Spirit within our lives as a constant presence in our lives, as a reminder that we are indeed in a relationship with God, not apart from God, but with God. And so Isaiah offered these words to those who were simply trying to rebuild Jerusalem. He offered these words as a reminder that although tomorrow, though today is significant, today is important. Today is also the groundwork for tomorrow. And the day after that, and the day after that. And reminding the people, I think even as God is reminding us as well, reminding me and you, that we live in the midst of God's life, of God's life-giving power. We are alive through the grace of God. And it is in us that God is unfolding this new creation for the community around us to see. We have that privilege. We are that sign. And so may we rejoice and be glad, as Isaiah says. May we delight and all that God has done among us this year, and all that God will do among us this coming year. Because, my friends, welcome to God's mountain. You are a part of it. You are that community that is welcoming the wolf and the lamb. You are providing straw for the lion. You are providing a community and a place for everyone to call home, God's home. Thanks be to God. Amen. I wanted to share a word of invitation here because part of being on this holy mountain, part of being part of God's community here at St. Paul's United Methodist Church is that this Sunday, usually on a particular Sunday in November, we take time to offer a service of healing and anointing. An opportunity for you, if you are feeling called by God, to come and join us either up front or Reverend Kress will be in the balcony for those in the balcony to have a time of prayer. Maybe there's something that you've been carrying and you would just like to have another person. We have two of our Stephen ministers too. Michelle Moore and Susan Sonia are going to be assisting the clergy as well up front. But if there's something that you may have that's been burdening you and you want to just have someone else pray for you, I invite you to come forward, to come to us for that prayer of healing and anointing. Or maybe it's just a time of anointing. It's just, I need to be reminded through the touch of anointing oil that I am a follower of God, that I am a beloved sister in Christ or a beloved brother in Christ. This time is open for you. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be using our closing hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, as both our hymn and also our benediction. And then following that hymn, we're just going to invite you. If you'd like to come forward to pray or in the balcony would like to pray, just come to one of the clergy or to one of our Stephen ministers, and we will just take this time and we will pray with you. Because we know the power of God's presence in our life. We know the power of prayer. We know the power of God's life. Transforming love. Transforming our lives. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the life that we live. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to be signs of your life-giving presence in the world around us. We're grateful that you give us a vision to be this holy mountain. To be a place of welcome, Lord, for all. Encourage us as we serve you, to speak to you, to listen to you, to be signs of your grace and peace even now. Lord, help us. Help us to be your church. Help us, God, to be your people. In your holy name we pray. Amen.